Dak takes the field with the Cowboys in New Orleans in just a few hours as Week 13 begins tonight. Dallas dealing with COVID issues as key pieces of their coaching staff won't coach, including their head coach. More on that in a moment with a live report. Welcome to NFL Live. Keyshawn Johnson, Darren Orlovsky here. Marcus Spears also with us today is Swag.
We'll
get to Adam Schefter in just a minute. Later also, what we're hearing and thinking about Russell Wilson's future with the Seahawks. But I mentioned Adam. Let's start by checking in on some of the injury questions surrounding tonight's game as Sheffy joins us. Let's begin with the Saints, Adam. Taysom Hill has been nursing a foot injury since Jameis Winston went down for the season. Tonight, the night we see Hill under center.
He will make his first start at quarterback tonight, Laura. A lot of people wondering what Taysom Hill can do at the quarterback position. Tonight, we begin to find out with him behind center, behind an offense that will look different for a variety of reasons. But Taysom Hill is somebody that's got a lot of support in that organization. And tonight we begin to find out why. But he will have to do it without his star standout running back Alvin Kamara nursing a sprained MCL. Not expected to play tonight. Will be inactive, and that will mean a heavier workload than normal for Mark Ingram, Tony Jones, whichever backs they decide to try to replace Alvin Kamara with. Not easy to replace him, and not easy to play not only without him, but also both starting offensive tackles, Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, they're out. Marcus Davenport's out. Saints have a whole host of knee injuries and other ailments to overcome tonight on a short week on Thursday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, it almost makes you say, who's in with all these players that are out for the Saints? Major injuries there in New Orleans. Adam with us all show long with more. And let's get to the other side. Our attention to Dallas. They've had some issues of their own to deal with, starting with their head coach. Mike McCarthy will not coach tonight as he has tested positive for COVID-19. So Dan Quinn will head to the sideline, fill the role as head coach, a role, of course, he recently had with the Falcons. Let's go to our field report brought to you by Windows 11 and Intel as we bring in Ed Werder from New Orleans. And Ed, you spoke with Quinn earlier today. What do you have to say about tonight?
Yeah, just in the last 45 minutes, he's replacing Mike McCarthy, as you said, tonight. And McCarthy spoke to the players in their final team meeting via Zoom, and he emphasized being the more physical team and playing complementary football. As for Amari Cooper, Quinn said he looks like himself after missing two games because of COVID, but that the Cowboys don't expect to have him play his normal role as a number one receiver. They want to build him back up physically. So my sense, Laura, is that they're going to use him where they think he can most impact the game and then see how he's responding physically and then either reduce or expand his involvement based on that observation and the players' interaction with coaches and training staff as the game evolves.
How about DeMarcus Lawrence? What do we know about his status expectations for tonight?
Yeah, you know, Quinn told me he's been counting the days awaiting the return of DeMarcus Lawrence, and he said, we're all so damned excited to see him. And, you know, they look forward to the energy and the physical toughness that he should provide, even though he, too, will play on a limited snap count. Quinn said they want to build him back up, use him in situations where he can have the most impact on the game, so I would expect that means third down pass rushes, red zone snaps initially. You know, the Cowboys have Lawrence, the highest paid defensive player in franchise history, returning tonight. They expect Randy Gregory to return from a calf injury that's kept him out four games as soon as next week. And, you know, Micah Parsons hasn't been on the field with both of those guys since his very first NFL game, week one. That should allow Quinn to maximize Parsons' flexibility. And I know that as much as he values Parsons as an edge rusher, he really believes he can best impact the game playing on the second level and then blitzing in passing situations. I can also envision Quinn having the rookie spy Taysom Hill in certain situations tonight. Laura, I asked Parsons about his expectations about what happens when Gregory and Lawrence return, and he said, you know what, I told him they can have all the chip blocks and all the double teams I've been seeing. He said, when we're all healthy and able to fully go, I feel bad for those quarterbacks, and I doubt he really means that.
Yeah, that's great. Ed, I do want to point out, too, DeMarcus Lawrence, since we came on the air, I mean, just like seconds ago, has officially been activated off of IR, thanks to Ed with the latest there from New Orleans. And we're just talking about it with Parsons. The Cowboys should get a defensive boost with Lawrence, Micah Parsons, and the unicorn Micah Parsons, I should say. Very good job there. He really is a unicorn for this defense. He's the only player in the NFL with 150-plus snaps in both coverage and as a pass rusher. And when when he does rush the passer, no one has had a greater impact. In fact, when Parsons is part of the pass rush, Dallas's defense allows a QBR of just 23, gets pressure on over 40% of the dropbacks. That's equivalent to the best defense in the league in both departments. And it's also better than the Browns defense with Myles Garrett, the Steelers with TJ Watt, and the Rams with Aaron Donald. So I think we should just throw that picture of Parsons with the unicorn horn for the rest of the show, because it probably illustrates it. Marcus, let's talk about Parsons for a second. Now that Lawrence is back in the mix, how should the Cowboys be using him?
Yeah, a lot in the same ways. I thought we was going to finish the damn show with you reading off accolades, because we could talk for an hour about how good he is. But the bottom line is, when you look at DeMarcus coming back, it's just flexibility for Dan Quinn, like he talked about. And the second level, being on the first level, I do not imagine them taking Michael Parsons off the edge completely, especially in third down situations. But it's also how you use him. Finding matchups. Dan Quinn did a phenomenal job earlier in the season. You see here against the Carolina Panthers, he's on that second level. You get him matched up on the back, that's going to be a win for Micah Parsons. He's too athletic for you to try to cut him, and you're not strong enough at the back. But very rare, this is rare for players in the NFL. He makes the zone read, but this ability right here to run Jalen Hurts down, you can use Micah Parsons in a lot of ways. The correlation between what I just showed you with Jalen Hurts, obviously we know they're going to try to use Taysom Hill legs in this game. They are not going to make him a drop back passer. 11 is going to have his work cut out for him, but he's looked like he's been up for the task every week.
You know, so you're talking about Taysom Hill's legs. He is dealing with a foot injury, though, Key, from the Saints side in this offense. How should they try and approach this game from a scheme standpoint?
Well, it won't be traditional Sean Payton.
Right.
It'll be more like what they did when they went 3-1 a year ago with Taysom Hill. Surprisingly, he's completed 73% of his passes, which is, I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know if that means screens or what it means. It's just there. You're going to run draws with him. You're going to run sweeps, direct snaps to the quarterback. And every now and then, there's a smoke and mirror play to confuse you, whether it's a reverse pass, whether it's some sort of flea flicker. That's how you get up on the Cowboys with a guy like this, because he's not a traditional drop-back passer.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the necessary weapons to allow him to be that. Hey, look, he's a hell of a football player, but in this situation right here, the deck is stacked against him.
Yeah, if I was Sean Payton, I would want to live in first down, second down, first down. Everything I can do to get there, because the Cowboys have the second best third down defense in football, and I'm playing without my two offensive tackles. Now, I think it's going to be forcing Dallas to play as much 11-on-11 football as you can, or at least making them think that you're doing that. Maybe extra offensive lineman comes in to play tight end for you, even though those tackles are out. I think that's got to be. And then the reality is this. This is not me being mean. You got to figure out where number 30 is, Anthony Brown, for Dallas' secondary. I got to check him early on in this game. If they're going to play man coverage, how many different ways can I get, you know, Marquez Callaway over there, Tre'Quan Smith, and guys that I feel like can go win? He's coming off a game where he struggled, and I want to just check where his confidence is and where his ability to play man coverage is. I think if the Saints do that, they got a shot to keep this a game.
All right, more on this game coming. We've got some breaking news here. Adam Schefter, what do you know?
Well, just moments ago, Laura, the NFL announced suspensions for three players, three games each, including the Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown and the safety Mike Edwards, for violating COVID protocols, having what they believe to be fake vaccination cards. The league doing an investigation into this particular situation. Each player now suspended three games without pay. And obviously we know that Antonio Brown's been trying to get back from that sprained ankle, but his issues go beyond that sprained ankle to the debates and issues surrounding his vaccination card and the status of it. Obviously, reports earlier last month that he had gotten and acquired a fake vaccination card. The league has looked into it and essentially suspended Antonio Brown and two other players for three games each.
All right, so as we hear that breaking news, guys, you know, again, to Adam's point, Antonio Brown came out saying that he did end up getting vaccinated, and there was a lot of back and forth there. What's your reaction to hearing this news, Key?
Why? Why? Just get vaccinated or don't get vaccinated. There's no point in doing that, but why? But then again, I have to think of it as it's AB, man. That's all I can tell you. Why?
I don't think three games is enough.
Why?
I don't think three games is enough. You lied to everybody. You lied to your team. You lied to the league. You put everybody else in jeopardy on your football team. Three games is not enough for this. So this is stupid. It's selfish. It's ignorant.
It's ridiculous.
It's disrespectful. Yeah, I don't think three games is enough.
What do you think, Marcus?
Stupid. And just like I gave Aaron Rodgers that smoke, AB about to get that smoke. And whoever the hell else did this. This is such foolishness. This is so dumb. First of all, pay attention to your history, bro. Like, why would you put yourself in this particular situation? Yeah. Just don't get vaccinated. Yeah. We just saw Amari Cooper. He's not vaccinated. He had to send out 10 games. It is one of the stupidest things I've seen since I've been covering the NFL. It's stupid, it's dumb, and it's typical of what Antonio Brown history has told us about who he is. It is ridiculous. We had this conversation, and I was waiting. To see what transpired from the first. We got this a couple weeks ago. I was waiting to find out if it was actually true. So if the NFL moved forward to suspend him for 3 games, and we're talking about Antonio Brown, AB, what the hell are you thinking, bro?
Yeah, he ain't
thinking.
It
is the stupidest thing I've seen since I've been covering the NFL.
He's not thinking, Marcus.
And you know what? As Adam just told us, the NFL did a thorough investigation into making this decision. Adam,
ridiculous.
You had more to add.
Well, Laura, look, I want to point out the way that the National Football League worded its release. It said that they're being suspended for violating jointly developed and administered NFL-NFLPA COVID-19 protocols. Nowhere in the release does it say that, as it was alleged by the Tampa Bay Times last month, that Antonio Brown acquired a fake vaccination card, which he has denied. But that was the charge in the newspaper, and clearly that's what this is about. And if there is a fake vaccination card and the league saw enough evidence here to suspend him for 3 games for violating protocols, which is what it's saying, well, that's also a felony, right? So there are a lot of questions here that are going to continue to be asked.
Stupid.
While people seek answers right now. But again, in that statement, nowhere does it say that he got a fake vaccination card, but we all are aware of the story that ran last month charging him with that alleged incident.
Yeah, I mean, either way, the NFL has been very strong in their handling of COVID-19 and wanting to make sure that across the board, games were not stopped and people were as safe as possible. They take this very seriously. We will get more information and bring it to you as soon as we have it. Still ahead on NFL Live, we'll talk about the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and Broncos in a bit. He will tell you why he thinks the Chiefs have resolved their offensive issues from earlier in the season. Stay tuned for that. And we'll hear from Russell Wilson, Adam Schefter on the news surrounding Russ's future in Seattle, why someone here thinks he's absolutely out of there. We'll be right back on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back here on NFL Live, let's read and react to some stories from around the NFL. We start in Tampa, where the Bucs have won 2 straight. Leonard Fournette coming off a 100-yard game, and his offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich talked about the running back's commitment to detail.
I think Lenny's growing. I told you guys he's becoming a pro. I think he's becoming a pro. His approach into the game, the way he approaches practice, the way he go into football games, more detailed than he's ever been before.
Marcus, I know you love when the Bucs lean into Leonard Fournette in the run game. Is this a run-first offense?
No, they are not a run-first offense, but Leonard Fournette and his involvement in not only running the football but in the passing game changes how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. Get this, y'all. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 15-1 when Leonard Fournette touches the ball 15 times or more. They're 7-8 or 8-7 when he doesn't. That's clearly enough for y'all to understand why he's so vitally important to what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do.
Next up, Seattle, where Russell Wilson is winless in his 3 games since returning from injury. He spoke to the media about an hour ago. Listen to this.
Like I said, my resume, you know, shows that I'm an overcomer. I'm going to keep being one. And so, I have no doubt. I have a tremendous confidence in who I am, where I am, what I'm going to be, how I'm going to be, how I'm going to get better every day about my craft and how our football team's going to get better, because there is no other choice, because of how we respond and how we always respond with the right mentality, the right mindset, the right language, and the right energy around it too. So that's what I'm pumped about, honestly.
All right, got Adam and Keyshawn here with us. Key, we'll start with you. You think Russ's time in Seattle coming to an end?
I think so, Laura and Adam. I think at the end of the year, we'll see Russell Wilson on the move. One of the teams that he'll certainly target will be the New Orleans Saints. If you think about it, you go back to his Super Bowl days, it was all about defense, running the football, and that's pretty much it. Russell Wilson was averaging about 25 attempts a game. Since then, it's way up to over 30 attempts a game, and that's because it was all about making Russ cook. And right now, he is not cooking, and we can feel it certainly and see it with our eyes.
Well, Keith, if we go back to last offseason, there were a list of four teams that Russell Wilson would have been open to a trade to, right? Dallas and Chicago were two of those teams, and Dallas went and signed Dak Prescott to a long-term extension, and the Bears went out and traded up for Justin Fields. The other two teams on the list were the Las Vegas Raiders and the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh.
Well, the Raiders this year, up and down kind of year. We'll see how they finish out. And the Saints, we know the struggles they've had at the quarterback. We'll see how they fare tonight with Taysom Hill starting at quarterback. But I think there's no question that right when the season ends, that the Seahawks and Russell Wilson are going to have to sit down, have open lines of communication, and figure out whether they want to move on together or whether they want to move on apart, and figure out what's best for both sides. But it can't hang over the team the way that it did all last offseason. I think both sides need to get clarity as soon as this season ends.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting because it's a situation where you wonder if Russ can even be patient enough if they need to rebuild some things there in Seattle or if he does, in fact, look around. Let's go to the Big Apple, and the transition from BYU has been rough for the number two overall pick, Zach Wilson. Let's take a deeper dive. He's got a 7.9 completion percentage below expectation this season. Completion percentage over expectation quantifies a QB's completion rate compared to what it would be taking into account the difficulty of the throw. So for context, the only quarterback with a worse mark since the stat was first tracked is C.J. Beathard in 2017. Not going well for Zach Wilson. We got more coming your way on NFL Live. Dan's going to show you just how the Pats defense will handle Josh Allen and the Bills offense. It's all about confusion, but he'll make it make sense. Also, the Bucks have responded to the news about AB's suspension. We'll bring you that statement next on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow.
It's V Week at ESPN. Our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. We would love your help if you can give it. The game of the week is coming your way Monday night as Mac Jones and the Patriots head to Buffalo for a matchup with the Bills. 8 Eastern on ESPN. ESPN Deportes is in the ESPN app. ESPN2 has Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Can't wait for this one. And Jeremy Fowler is in Buffalo ahead of Monday night's game. Jeremy, Josh Allen should have his hands full with this Pats defense. What did he have to say about going up against Bill Belichick this week?
Well, Laura, Allen and the Bills say they are preparing for everything. I just spoke with Stephon Diggs. He said, look, I can go into this game thinking I'm getting man-to-man coverage. Belichick is going to throw me something totally different. I don't want to be confused, so I'm going to look at it all. Now, Allen suspects that Belichick will try to take away the Bills' greatest strength. When I asked him what that strength is, he pointed straight to his star receiver. Check this out.
Well, I mean, if you look at the past few games, Stephon Diggs is just, he's having a lot of success, and we're going to need him going forward. But if they want to, you know, they've done some things in the past where they try to double your best guy, or maybe they double your number two. And again, he's got J.C. Jackson on him, who's a phenomenal player. But again, we're just going to have to adjust on the fly. Whatever they plan on doing, we're going to find out, you know, hopefully in that first quarter. And you know, we got to go out there and make some plays.
Wind gusts are expected to hit nearly 40 miles an hour Monday night, but Allen can draw from his collegiate experience playing in frigid Wyoming. That's why I was drafted here, Allen said.
Oh, man, 40 miles per hour. Golly. All right, thanks, Jeremy. There's been an emerging blueprint, by the way, around the NFL on how to slow Josh Allen and the Bills' offense down this season. In Buffalo's wins, teams are blitzing Allen a lot, not playing much zone. However, in its losses, it's been a giant shift as teams hardly blitz him at all, choosing to sit back in zone coverage. That may play directly into New England's hands. The Patriots are blitzing at the fifth lowest rate and running zone at the 10th highest rate over their current six-game win streak. So, golly, scary numbers for the Bills right there. Marcus, what do they have to do offensively to combat that?
Yeah, you got to attempt to run the football. Key talked about this, and Dan talked about this a couple weeks ago about them making themselves one-dimensional. You become one-dimensional against Bill Belichick, you get ran out of the stadium. That's what happens. That's the history. Everybody can go look at it. So Josh Allen is right. You will get different looks. But if Buffalo doesn't attempt to run the football, they are going to get in third and long situations, and I guarantee you Bill Belichick will heat them up a little bit, because what you want to do in those particular situations, and his confidence that he has in the understanding by his secondary to be where they need to be, he'll do this. You look at this entire game against the Dallas Cowboys, they put the New England Patriots in these situations because they were attempting to run the ball, getting the ball out of Dak's hands quickly and allowing playmakers to make plays. Josh Allen can't be looking for 40 and 50-yard chunks. He got to play within himself, and they got to threaten the run game so Bill Belichick doesn't get in this bag.
Yeah, I think one of the things that makes the Patriots' defense so difficult and what the Bills will have to face is, number one, they'll use their preparation against them, and then two, they will get you as an offense to do what they want as a defense you to do.
He's no different than he was 30 years ago calling defenses,
right,
putting in schemes, mixing things up, allowing you to go from the 25 to the 25. It's not going to give you the big play. You don't have to earn it, okay? You're going to think about the early days of the Super Bowl wins when they had the McGinnises and the Brewskis and the Seymours. This is the same thing. The only difference is the names on the back of the jerseys are different. Instead, now, right, you have a Jackson at corner instead of a Ty Law. Okay, you don't have Brewski there, you have a Hightower. You don't have a McGinnis there, you have a Judon. It's the same principles that they did many years ago, even to the point that we did with the New York Jets when we had guys. We put our top corner in Aaron Glenn on somebody and say, well, give him a little man, give him a little blitz zone, but whatever we do, you got him, you're going to cover
him.
And that's what they're going to do with Jackson.
Yeah.
They're just going to mix it up a little
bit. Just forces you to guess on offense.
Field goals. Make them kick field goals.
Yeah, you can't make educated guesses.
It was funny, but you were saying even when we heard from Josh Allen there, he was saying, well, hopefully we figure out what they do after the first series or so.
You ain't gonna figure
Marcus,
it out.
You really can't do that, because right, they'll just keep changing it up no matter what.
No, it's always been, to Key and Dan's point, it's always been game plan specific. You never get a beat on Bill Belichick defenses.
Right.
You can't look at one week of film and say, oh, they're going to be in this look if we give them this look. That's what's made him great for a long time. And the second thing is, y'all, it's very simple when it comes to the New England Patriots. Once Bill Belichick gets personnel, there is not a more disciplined defense in the league.
Yeah.
These guys are going to make you make plays. It's not going to be because you outsmarted them. They are going to be disciplined. You are going to have to beat the man that's defending you to make plays on this defense.
I will be interested to see. I get the whole not outsmarting thing. You got to try, though. Like, I would be interested to see if Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, tries to go crazy up-tempo. Almost college stuff, where you just try to get as many plays as you can. If your defense is playing it well, maybe that minimizes the package that New England can throw at you.
Again, this game on ESPN Monday Night Football is a Monday Night Football last season game, and it was interesting because the Bills absolutely trounced the Patriots in New England. Yeah. So you know they don't forget that either. Back to some breaking news today as Antonio Brown has been suspended for 3 games. This was an investigation done by the NFL into misrepresentation of vaccine status. Antonio Brown, they determined, suspended for 3 games, and that means it's at the Panthers, at the Jets, and versus the Panthers again. The suspension will cost him about $183,000 in salary. Here's the statement from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We appreciate the league's timely handling of this matter, recognize the importance of the health and safety protocols that have been established. We will continue to implement all league COVID-19 protocols. Again, Antonio Brown suspended for 3 games.
We got the Dan Wagon coming up. Dan, giddy up. Come on, yeehaw.
Broncos on the wagon. We are going to put 2 gloves.
Touchdown! Broncos.
Teddy Bridgewater on the Dan Wagon. I am going to put on Kirk
Cousins throws.
Touchdown!
Ezekiel Elliott, is on the Dan Wagon.
Rondell Moore, wide open, touchdown!
You are now part of the Dan Wagon family. Welcome.
Like Laura said, yeehaw!
We found your horses, Dan. Give him a nice pet. I'm going to braid this guy's mane while you're telling us who's on the Dan Wagon. Who is it this week?
I know how to braid.
I don't think so.
We've had colts, you know, that are attached to wagons. We are now going to go to a similar animal, mascot-wise, and go
with that.
Denver Broncos tailback Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams has been spectacular recently, averaging 2.7 yards per carry after contact. That's second most in the NFL. They're getting the ball in a bunch of different ways. Listen, 1/6 of the time he carries the football, it goes for 10-plus yards.
Wow.
So every 6 carries, he's going to get you 10 yards. He's been fantastic as a pass catcher. The Broncos are 4-0 as a football team when he gets at least 15 touches. So I thought Marcus's point about Leonard Fournette was fantastic before, about his impact on the Buccaneers offense. Javonte Williams is having a tremendous amount of impact. He hasn't even started a game yet, and he averages half yard more per carry over Melvin Gordon, who is their starter, behind the same offensive line. That's not shade at Melvin.
Yeah.
He's just producing. So, listen, the Broncos are playing good football. It's partly because of their rookies. Javonte Williams from North Carolina playing big-time ball.
They have some nice weapons. I cannot believe you petted that horse the entire time.
I feel like this is
that
my dog.
That was so weird.
I love dogs.
Mine, its name.
I love horses, too.
I'm putting it up to my microphone. All right, so we're talking about the Broncos. That's the offense. Let's talk about the defense a little bit this season.
Patrick
Sertain.
Because
it's allowing the third fewest points per game, and a big reason for that is because they have the third highest 3-and-out percentage, ranked 10th in red zone efficiency. But while Denver has been great at getting opponents off the field quickly, the Chiefs offense, who they'll see this week, has been the exact opposite. They post the league's lowest 3-and-out percentage in the NFL. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. But Marcus, that Broncos defense has held Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott to under 20 points in recent weeks. How did the Chiefs get it going offensively Sunday night?
Yeah, they kind of stick to some of the same script that they did against the Dallas Cowboys, El Boogie, and that's underneath and not allowing Denver to force them into particular situations while we talk about defenses getting you to where they want to be. Now, Denver changes up looks on the back end, but getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire started early, finding Travis Kelce kind of in spots and in the middle of this defense is how you want to create downfield passing for Patrick Mahomes. I thought Kansas City was smart. I wasn't enamored because it wasn't explosive and they didn't hit 50 and 60 yard bombs against the Dallas Cowboys. They had a few plays there that they just didn't execute. But what they did do is what we fussed about all season long leading up to a few games before that, is that they were trying to be greedy and not take what the defense was giving them. They finally settled in to doing that. And I think that's what's going to carry the day with them against the Denver Broncos until those things open up on the back end. Surtain had 2 interceptions last week, playing very well. This Justin Simmons on the back end, really good safety for this football team. It's a good defense coached by Fangio. Kansas City needs to stay in their vein and take the underneath until the top opens up.
Marcus is 100% right, Laura. You're going to play a boring game. And I know we want to see Patrick Mahomes sling it and exciting and highlights. But you're going to dink and dunk. You're going to screen. You're going to throw some shallow crosses. Every now and then, you run the ball. You run another screen. You'll tell him, hey, take the deep crosser because it's there. Oh, there's the check down, the swing pass, 2x2 check down out of the backfield. There's the fly sweep. And then he'll take a chunk on you. Opposed to scrambling around and going for the big play every third play. That's what got him in trouble when they were on that losing streak.
Yes,
play smart and do exactly what you did or have been doing thus far on the winning streak. And I think that they will do that.
Patrick Mahomes actually has the highest total QBR versus division opponents, so he probably ratchets it up just a notch. Did y'all hear Marcus say fussing? That's when you know you're from the South. You're fussing at people out there.
Yeah, that's fussing. Fixing I'm fussing
to.
At them.
Fixing to fuss. All right, coming up, we're fixing to make our game picks for tonight, the Cowboys against the Saints. What does Swagoo do here? Well, you probably already know what he's going to do, but what about the rest of us? He's fixing for a win and fussing for one, too. All right, I promise I'll stop. Maybe not. Time to check in at the Domino's pregame headquarters as Adam Schefter gets us ready for the kickoff of week 13 in the NFL. And both the Cowboys and Saints, Adam, have major question marks heading into this one. What do we need to know about Dallas, starting with our head coach?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
He's out for tonight's game, Laura. Mike McCarthy did not make the trip to New Orleans. He was working with the team virtually all week long, but will not be on the sideline. Dan Quinn will be moved from the coach's booth down to the sideline, so he will be there. Amari Cooper activated off the reserve COVID-19 list. I think there are some questions about his conditioning level tonight and how much he can play and what his stamina will be like. That will bear watching tonight. Taysom Hill will be behind center for the New Orleans Saints, making his first start at quarterback all season long. We've been waiting to see what he can do. We know how much Sean Payton likes Taysom Hill. Tonight, we get the full Taysom Hill experience. And the Saints will be, of course, without their running back Alvin Kamara, still coming back from a knee injury, not right on a short week. The Saints are hoping that after this week, maybe he can be back after this. But Mark Ingram will be back in the lineup for the Saints.
Yeah, Adam, for different reasons, must win on both sides as week 13 begins. Thanks for being with us here on NFL Live.
Thank you, Laura.
So to start this season, arguably no quarterback was better against man coverage than Dak Prescott, but that hasn't been the case in recent weeks. In fact, Prescott's seen a massive drop-off versus man coverage in QBR, yards per attempt, and completion percentage over his last four games. He'll look to get back on track tonight, though, as no team has run man coverage at a higher rate in the NFL this season than the Saints. But especially keeping that in consideration, if you're setting up the game plan tonight, what are you trying to do offensively to get Dak back on track?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try to figure out where Zeke is at, and I'm going to get him the football.
Same, like health-wise?
Health-wise. Yeah. As many times as I can health-wise. And then Tony Pollard. I'm going to mix that up in there a little bit on the perimeter, give him some swing passes, maybe some screens. But I'm going to mix that up in there. Then I'm going to play action pass game it, get Amari Cooper involved when he's on the field. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb and everybody else. And take my time methodically moving the football down the field. Take my shots when I can. They were successful early in the season when they ran the ball last four games. They hadn't run the ball worth a snot.
No doubt.
So, therefore, they've been behind and they've been losing games. They've got to get back to doing what was successful for them in the beginning of the season. Yeah.
What do you think, Marcus?
Very similar to what Keith said. 20 got to touch the ball a lot. All right, he is a dynamic playmaker. He got to be one of those guys. Listen, y'all, I'm telling you right now, and sue me, Tony Pollard is in the same kind of family with the ball in his hands as Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey. He's that dynamic with that type of burst. And Dallas needs to figure out a way. Key, you talking about the run game, you're absolutely right. But they got to get him the ball quick. They got to do extended handoffs, screens. They got to throw quick passes to him. CD the same way. This is about Dak Prescott not dropping back to push the ball down the field 10, 15 yards every time he throws the football. It's about easy access throws to dynamic playmakers and allow themselves to get going. But when you look at what they – like, here's the thing for me, y'all. When we watch them against Kansas City, why would you keep dropping back and Chris Jones is destroying the interior of your line of scrimmage? Figure out a way to get the ball out of his hands quickly in the playmakers and see if guys can tackle in space.
I'm going to pretend you didn't. Tony Ball is a nice player, but I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
You're suing him. He said, sue me.
You're going to pretend I didn't say what?
Yeah, nothing. I think if New Orleans is going to win this football game. If New Orleans wins this game, it will be on the back of their defense because so many people are out on their offense. Now, when I look at their defense, a couple things for Dak Prescott. This will come down to his performance on third down. It has not been good over the past month. Talked about the poor run game, not getting the completions. Then you're in third and long. Okay, so first of all, you're going to see this man coverage. A lot of times the Saints are going to play two-man where two safeties are back deep playing zone man underneath. Dak, you got to use your legs tonight, okay? That'd be the first thing that I would be telling him if I was Kellen Moore. The second thing is you're going to get that two-man coverage. You got to rip the ball down the middle of the field. You got to challenge these underneath defenders with your accuracy, attack in the middle of the field. Make sure occasionally they drop down that safety, go to single high. You got to see that backside safety. And then the third thing I would say is this. When you're getting that two-man coverage, you got to push the ball to the perimeter on these outbreaking routes. Accuracy is going to be huge for Dak Prescott tonight. Listen, this defense, four of the last five games, last week, 31 hung on them by Buffalo. Josh Allen, 260 and four touchdowns. Philly put 40 on them. Matt Ryan threw for 360 yards and three touchdowns. Tom Brady threw for 375 yards and four touchdowns. This defense is a good defense, but if you're going to have success, it's going to be through the air. I got to see Dak Prescott do that tonight.
You know, it's interesting because when we were telling you how he's dropped off in a big way against man, you were kind of oohing and aahing because it speaks to the exact point that you're making there.
Yeah.
But do you think that it's a Dak problem? Is it an offense as a whole problem?
It's always tied together. I mean, not having CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper there, you know, man winners, that's a big deal. I think they get healthy on the perimeter. They certainly – I want to see their tight ends block better tonight, but it's a good challenge. New Orleans can play coverage really well.
But to your point, Dan, he got to be more accurate.
Yes.
Like, I love Dak Prescott, but he has more accurate. He has missed some throws as well.
Absolutely.
Along with drops, but he's missed some throws.
Yes.
All right, ESPN's Football Power Index slightly favors the Cowboys tonight, giving him a 55% chance to win. Let's make some game picks here. And I'll just let us live for a minute on this Photoshop moment because it's so good.
Hey, Marcus.
You, Keith. Well,
I don't like mine, though.
Key, you don't like yours.
No, I think you look
more
like
cute.
A broke down illegal dude. Y'all know what I'm talking about. A pimp.
Marcus,
I don't like that.
That's the best I've seen you look with your face covered.
Oh, come on.
With my face covered?
Dan,
I got you.
Look like I'm up to something.
Hey, real quick, zoom in on Dan's because we just got to see. Dan, you look a little too comfortable in that King outfit. All right, anyway, let's make some actual game picks. Key, you get to pick for tonight. Look at me. Look. Who are you taking? Cowboys, Saints,
Sport. I'm taking Cowboys. 25-12.
That's weird.
Well, I'm going to take the 12. I figured they screwed up and they wanted to go for two and they missed it.
I respect that.
I just put the 12 down there. Cowboys 25. Yeah. That's what I think.
One for the Cowboys.
Saints were healthy, I would take them. But I'm going to take the Cowboys because of the injuries. I just talked about Dak. I want to see Dak get back to the guy that was, you know, kind of playing that first 7-8 week stretch. I want to see him push the ball downfield, be incredibly accurate, play on time, use his feet when that situation presents itself. CeeDee Lamb hopefully back, Amari Cooper hopefully back. Let's see this Cowboys offense look like it did the first 2 months of the season.
I think this Cowboys team is going to win, and a lot of it has to do with maybe rallying around Dan Quinn. They don't have Mike McCarthy out there as their head coach, but Quinn, who certainly has a lot of experience as a head coach, I think can get them in a good mode to play this team that's without a ton of players.
Yeah.
As we told you throughout the show, I think the Cowboys win this one. And now that means, Marcus, the NFL live streak could be alive here, the curse where we all pick the same team. You want to pick the Cowboys? You want to pick against your team? What are you going to do here?
Please, you don't have to keep going. If it's a damn curse, we just cursed them. Because I'm picking the Cowboys 231-17. And I believe the offense will get going behind Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb and Zeke Elliott. I think this defense could potentially score as well in this football game. That's something that we didn't point out. But these guys are flying around. And if you force Taysom Hill to throw the football, I'm sure Trayvon Diggs would love to play that type of game.
All right, so listen, I agree. I think the Cowboys are going to win. But if the Cowboys don't win this game, it's your fault, Marcus Spears. Ooh. You had the chance to reverse the curse there, and you still picked the Cowboys.
It ain't my fault. It's their fault.
I love it. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL
Live. It's the team's fault for losing.